First, many people have moments in which they're faced with a realization that changes how they view the world. Our next guest had that moment at age 10 when he was faced with the fact that many people would respond to him differently based on the color of his skin and would make harmful assumptions based on it. Devin Snyder is a civil rights activist. He grew up in Fond du Lac and is a graduate of UW-Madison. His recent opinion piece for Fox Valley 365 is titled The Never-Ending Timeline of Racism. You can also find a link to it over at WPR.org/Central Time. Devin, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You start your piece by relating an interaction that you and your mom had with your fifth grade teacher. Can you share that with us?
Yes, that is correct. So when I was in fifth grade at Parkside Elementary School, we were at a parent-teacher conference. And my teacher at the time started off the conversation essentially telling my mother that she thought I was going to be a bad kid and that she thought I was going to be trouble, but it kind of shocked her that, as it turned out, that I wasn't that and I actually was smart. And after that happened, my mom kind of told her off and we abruptly left. And me at being 10 years old, I really wasn't sure kind of what happened. And I didn't understand what was going through, you know, my mom's head at that time. And then when we got to the car, that's when my mom, for the first time in my life at the age of 10, had explained racism to her 10-year-old black child.
Can you talk about that conversation and what she tried to share with you then?
Yep. So she essentially told me that my teacher made a preconceived notion about me based off my skin color, and that she told me that unfortunately in today's society, me being black is going to come with some troubles, that people are going to judge me based off my skin color, that when it comes to the police, that I must always comply even if I'm not in the wrong, so I can make it back to her. And that she even told me herself that her having black children herself, that even her own family members won't talk to her.
We'll get into some more of the stories you share in your piece, but can you talk about why you decided to share these stories ranging from age 10 to your adult life now?
Yeah, no problem. So kind of, I'm from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. It's a small town, kind of a hick town. And I kind of was just getting sick of the ignorant, racist, bigot posts that I kept seeing on my news feed. Essentially, people, you know, were stating that, you know, racism doesn't exist in Fond du Lac, or, you know, that did you guys ever think that maybe if you didn't break the law, that maybe you wouldn't have these interactions with the police? So I was just kind of seeing things like that. That just made me mad, and I just felt that I needed to share my story. And that was kind of the reasoning why I wrote my story, to kind of educate the people of Fond du Lac that even though you might not see racism or experience it yourself, doesn't mean that it's not existing. And my whole intent of writing that article, like, I didn't have these intentions that, you know, it was going to go viral. My whole intention was just to, you know, kind of shut up the ignorant people in my hometown and like show them that, hey, look at me, you know, I'm college educated. I went to the best college, you know, in our state, you know, I've done a lot of things and I still experience racism. So I complied with the laws and still I, you know, experienced this. So your valids are, you know, not, your points are not valid essentially.
And then the next story you share was 2 years later in middle school now in Fond du Lac. This time it involved the police. What happened then?
Yeah, so I made the track team in seventh grade at Sabish Middle School. And I was jogging, practicing, because for track I ran the 400. So I was good at sprinting, but with the 400 it's kind of long distance and sprinting. So I wasn't really good at long distance running. So I was practicing just kind of running on Forest Avenue and Fond du Lac Avenue when I get stopped by two police officers. And I am 12 years old at this time. I'm scared. I'm shaking. My mom's words echo through my head again. Comply with the police, even though you're not in the wrong. They start patting me down. They start asking me questions while I was running. As they were patting me down, they found an iPod in my pocket. Then they start to question me about the iPod. They ask me who I stole it from. That was their first question. Who'd you steal this iPod from? I'm stuttering. I'm 12 years old, shaking, don't know what to say, trying to get the words out. They keep asking me over and over again, like, who'd you steal this iPod from? And finally, I was able to get the words out that I didn't steal the iPod, that it was mine. That if you look on the back of the iPod, you can see engraved, it says Devin Snyder. And then when they saw that, they kind of smirked, you know, told me it was my lucky day, and they told me to head back home. And I ran as fast as I can back to my house. I was bawling. And I just ran to, like, my mom and told her what happened. And that's the day I realized, like, true racism, that what my mom told me 2 years prior is exactly 100% true.
Talking to Devin Snyder, civil rights activist. His piece on Fox Valley 365 has gone viral. It's titled The Never-Ending Timeline of Racism. Devin, you recount another story where you were told you had a lucky day, this time not in Fond du Lac. I think this was in Madison after you bought a new car.
Yes. So before I bought a new car, I had this piece of crap 2000 Pontiac Grand Am that lasted me for a while, and it finally died, and I was saving up, and I just got a promotion at my job, and I transferred to the east side for my job, so I needed a car before I was able to walk to work, so I had no other choice. So I picked up a car from CarMax on the west side of Madison, a nice luxury car, way better than the car I've ever owned. And I didn't even own the car for 5 minutes, and I get pulled over. The officer comes to my door, knocks on the window, asks me, you know, for my license and registration, asks me if I know why I got pulled over. I told him, I said, I honestly do not know why I just got pulled over. I literally just picked this car up. Before I even got that, he told me that I did a rolling stop and I didn't have my lights on. I just bought a luxury car that has automatic lights. Even before I got this luxury car, my 2004 Pontiac Grand had automatic lights. So you're telling me that you pulled me over because my lights weren't on when I have automatic lights and it was dark and my lights were on? So that was just his excuse to pull me over. I got pulled over for driving while black, while driving while being in a nice car. So then after he went back to his car to check, after I gave my license and registration, then he went back to his car to, you know, check my record to make sure, you know, it was my car and everything. He literally came back, told me it was my lucky day, and to head back home.
Those are just a few of the stories you share. But another common theme is that when you talk about this with your white friends in Fond du Lac, and I think in Madison also, people respond by downplaying it. Is that a fair trend?
Yes, they try to downplay it, try to say, you know, I'm kind of like too sensitive, or like the one instance I kind of shared in my article was about when I was at a Badger game and I saw a white guy was dressed as Obama with a noose over his head. And I remember being at that Badger game and I told my friend, like, I'm leaving, like, I can't be there. I was sick to my stomach, and we left. And he told me, and I told him that, like, that's not right. And he was like, that's freedom of speech. Like, whether you like it or not, you know, whether you agree with that or not, you know, you have that right to that. And that's when I kind of said there's a difference between, you know, freedom of speech and hate speech. And there's a difference between disguising freedom of speech, you know, and that, like, and I kind of always got that from my white friends growing up, from being called the whitest black person they knew. And that always used to make me mad, because it's like they always reminded me on a daily basis that, you know, I was black. And then on top of that, they wanted to add that I was the whitest black person they knew, because, you know, I was one of the most educated people they knew. And they made their own preconceived notion, you know, of what is and isn't normal behavior for a black person. And that's what made me mad. It's because these are supposed to be my friends, you know, my best friends. And even though they might not have known at the time that what they were saying was a racist, it had a race, you know, racist undertone. And like I said, they said those things because of their preconceived notions of what is and isn't normal behavior for, you know, a black person.
Very briefly, Devin, these were your stories, and a lot of people, a lot of black people have stories like these, right?
Yes. That, I guess what the good thing about me writing this article that I didn't expect, like, so when I first wrote this article, I just expected, you know, maybe a couple shares, maybe like 50 likes. So like I said, I got over 15,000 shares, and it reached people in Paris and Nicaragua and Canada. And what was the most rewarding thing for me for writing this article is the countless other Black people that messaged me daily, thanking me for telling my story, for telling our story, for articulating so well that they couldn't, for saying the similar experiences that they've gone through, you know, for telling me they have tears in my eyes, that, you know, that they're literally thanking me for telling our story. And it's just a sad truth that, like, it's not Black people's job to teach, to, you know, share their experiences with white people for them to believe that racism exists. That wasn't my intent of sharing this. I just had to share it because I was sick of people, you know, thinking that it doesn't exist, or just because it doesn't happen to them that it's not going on. And
we have to leave it there. Thanks to our guest, Devin Snyder. Sorry to cut you out. Devin Snyder, civil rights activist. His piece, The Never-Ending Timeline of Racism, linked at WPR.org/Central Time. Stick around. There's more to come here on Central Time.